You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, we are. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, going right now to one of my favorite times of every single week. We call it the Grand Council. We got a special sound effect. Copper, get it ready, because we're going to be doing this here in just a moment. We got Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, the morning show guy, program director, writes for Yellowhammer. Dale Jackson, are you present?
Dale Jackson reporting for duty, Colonel!
All right. Stand at ease. All right, and then right down the farthest end of our state in the coastal regions, we have FM Talk 106.5's Jeff Poor, who is also the political editor for 1819 News and even works for Breitbart. So, Jeff Poor, you there?
I am present.
So depressing.
I feel like we're having to drag him into the hype here.
And he loves it too. He's such a phony.
I hear Dale's Dale acted up, and
All right, listen. Enough of this. Copper, I pronounce a quorum. Play the sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Da-da-da-da. All right, here's the deal. You know the rules, fellas. We take turns pinging each other with questions. We don't know the questions in advance. We don't even always agree on the answers, but we love each other nonetheless when it's over. I'm going to start with Jeff Poor first. Go, bud.
All right, lay up here, guys. Biggest surprise from Tuesday night.
That's your question? That's all you got? Biggest surprise?
Yeah. I mean, I want to go through the low-hanging...
Okay. For me, I think one of the biggest surprises of the night, not that I didn't think, I thought Wes Allen was going to pull it out. I did not expect him to pull it out as handily as he did, because last I remember, Jim Ziegler was up in the actual numbers from the primary, but apparently everything coalesced around Wes Allen. The final push took him to Secretary of State land, and he did a pretty solid job at the final polls for the runoff. So that was the one for me on Tuesday night, I think. Dale.
The lack of surprises was the biggest surprise. And I know that's kind of a cop-out, but I truly I'm almost falling into the group of people who are like, why do we even have these runoffs? Why don't we just blow these whole things up and say, you know, let's move the number down to, I don't know, 40% or something, even though we still would have seen some of these runoffs. But it seems like this is all just kind of a waste of time at this point. And, I mean, I like the radio advertising dollar, so I should shut up now. But I think that, you know, maybe this isn't the best way to do it.
I think Dale should run for office and go to Montgomery and change the law. That's what I think. That's what he should do. But, Jeff, your own question. What do you think, man?
It's interesting you say that you think they ought to go, because I've heard a lot of chatter about that. But I just don't trust these guys to do the right thing at the right time. I think this, though... The turnout was probably a tick higher than I thought it would be, and I, you know, it was almost competing with what it was in the primary, and I guess looking at it and how that played out, that it was like Katie Britt who sustained the momentum throughout the month lag there.
Well, what was the final turnout? It was like 12 or 13%, right?
12%, 12.3%.
And just to be clear, just a statement of clarity, I said I kind of feel like it. Trust me, when they try to do it, I'm going to be bitching up a storm.
Don't you equivocate on my show.
I'm not equivocating. I'm just telling you exactly what's going to happen.
All right. Well, take the next question, Dale. What do you got?
Well, I actually was going to ask about the Secretary of State's race, but I will move on from there. Gary Palmer, the truth in advertising thing, he just kind of seems a little upset about this. I know we talked about it a little last week. He gave Yaffe the business about it before. I've had a lot of listeners say, you guys shouldn't run these ads. And, you know, we really don't have that say, and I'm going to run them anyway. But this whole thing with these ads has really kind of rubbed people the wrong way. They created a brand new person out of Mo Brooks in order to beat him. I mean, that's basically what they did, and people are kind of annoyed by that. Do you see anything that can be done about that, or is this just the way it is?
Okay. Dangerous territory when you start saying what people are allowed to say. So the bottom line is they're supposed to be able to tie everything to reality. And if they say you did this thing, they have to cite at the bottom of the mailer or wherever it is, or on the screen for the TV, they have to cite where it came from. But they've even fabricated that. There was one mailer that was done on me that I had personally raised taxes 617 times or something ridiculous. And I looked at it and thought, what in God's name? No, I was in Montgomery when people tried to pass local bills that raised local taxes that I had nothing to do with. But I asked the people in my campaign, raise your hand if you've been impacted by some tax that I allegedly raised. Nobody could raise their hand. But that's the kind of thing they do. So here's the deal. I think that the fine line is fabricating something from a kernel of truth. I mean, it's hard to, but like they did the same thing to Mike Durant.
Yep.
I think that the reality is they have to be able to be called on the carpet for it. You're still allowed right now under the law to issue a cease and desist. I mean, any lawyer from Mo Brooks or Mike Durant or anybody could have issued a cease and desist and fought the issue, but they chose not to. Jeff?
I'm on this. I don't want to see more regulation or any tamping down on this. Man, I think we got to use the tools that we have to crack down on some of the dishonesty. And like you said, Senator, if there's something that you find objectionable, use the court, send a cease and desist, use the letter of the law. But once you go in that other direction and we start trying to regulate speech, it just becomes where the people in charge get to make the rules. I don't like that.
I agree. I think you get into this Office of Misinformation thing. It's pretty scary. You know, one thing we could do is mandate that what you don't have right now is the PACs a lot of times run the commercials and allegedly they don't communicate with the campaigns. You could mandate that any commercial run on behalf of a campaign has to have the candidate's approval before it's run so they can be held on, have their feet held to the fire if they run it. But anyway, your own question, Dale, what do you think?
Well, I mean, the reason I raise the issue is I think I agree it's almost impossible to do anything about. But, man, I will tell you, the Alabama media outside of talk radio just completely took this election off. There was no analysis of ads or anything like that other than look how much money's being spent. Look how much money's being spent. Look how much money's being spent. And all of Jeff's friends in the media just completely fell down, and he didn't hold them accountable.
It's all your fault, Jeff. We now know.
No, but they're just – they flood the zone. They flood the zone. And speaking as a journalist here, though, you look at it and it's, I mean, you look at it and my inclination is this is how the game is played. Every piece of mail, every attack ad is not really. You can't just sit around and fact check it because everything's so subjective.
Yeah, but it's a fine line. I mean, I remember once somebody said something about me, and I said something like. I questioned it, and they said, oh, man, is this politics? And I said, no, it's still called a lie. I mean, you could try to say, oh, is this politics? It could still be a lie. All right, let me jump on a question here real quick before we lose any more time in this break. Before this break, this weekend we got challenges. Some of those challenges are based upon claims of crossover voting. Now, I'm personally of the opinion that crossover voting, Democrats jumping into Republican primaries, which Republicans have done to Democrat primaries, but I'm of the mind that at some local levels, like Senator Whatley down in Lee County, it definitely had an impact. I can't say it really impacted statewide, but do you perceive the crossover voting ban coming where you have to register with the party before you can vote for that primary? Well, what do you think, guys? Jeff, you first.
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming, and I'd be surprised if we don't have a bill pre-filed soon on that doing just that. We'll see. But no, I just they gotta act. There's too much noise, and I think it's pretty clear when you had the op-ed in the New York Times of the creative writing professor admitting as much that the writing's on the wall.
Dale, what do you think?
That's my favorite part of the whole thing is the op-ed there. They're like, there's no evidence. Like, this is a gal. I don't want to misgender. This is somebody who is saying, look what I did. I did this. I did this. Look what I did. And everyone's like, well, there's not any evidence that, it happened. It's like, no, there's plenty.
Listen, I've seen more. Senator Whatley actually sent me screenshots of about a half a dozen Democrats who were crowing on their personal Facebook pages that they think their vote took Whatley out.
And, well, they're all right. Every single one of them is correct.
Every one of them is right. You're correct.
He better hurry up and file that because he's out of time.
I'm saying it's coming though. Hey, listen, we got to move to a break right now. Copper, go ahead and take us to the break, fellas. We will come right back for round two. We're with the Grand Council, my brethren, Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5, our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN, and me, your humble host on Right Side Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right with some heated rhetoric that I wish we had had. Dale, don't you wish we had had that on the air a while ago? I mean, I think I do.
So why don't you ask me to ask my question? I'll gladly get it right back started up if you'd
well,
like.
So wait, who was first? I think we got. I'm pretty sure that Jeff. I mean, if you need to go take a Valium or something, we can wait.
I love it.
Whoa, settle down there. Don't get too big for our britches, Mr. Huntsville radio host.
Ask your question there, South Alabama guy. What do you got?
It's your turn. Tell me, what is the resolution for one Ben Harrison who would, if under your rules, that he would have to have another election to win the nomination after having one primary and a runoff certified by what appears to be the Secretary of State? What is the proper way of him handling or defending his apparent nomination for that House District 2 seat?
The proper way is for him to file a motion to dismiss and have the court determine whether or not she has a viable case. If she does not have a viable cause of action,
what should happen?
Would you let me finish my answer? The bottom line is this: she has a right under the law to protest. We're talking about Kimberly Butler. If Kimberly Butler's protest does not meet the meritorious level necessary to maintain a case, the judge will throw it out. However, in the event that the judge does not dismiss the claim, then Ben Harrison has no choice but to defend it. And a circuit court judge, if it gets to that level, because they go to the steering committee and then they appeal from there, if the circuit court judge says that the election was held was invalid, he has no choice as a circuit court judge but to invalidate the election and set a new election, which by law is required under the statute. Period.
Just a little background here for those who are. Hold on. We got a little background here for people who don't understand. Ben Harrison's win there in Limestone County is coming into question because of maybe some misplaced ballots or some nonsense like that. And they, I say nonsense, but just bear with us. And what's happening is there's going to be a legal question here, and that's what the debate is over, just for those who did not happen to listen to you guys screaming at each other during the break.
And what's crazy is
– okay, let's clear something up. Stop misplaced ballot. They gave people the wrong
– go on.
It's my turn here. They gave people the wrong ballots, and that is why that this is all screwed up, because the boneheads of Lauderdale County got this wrong. However – they have certified the elections, and they are what they are. And it was Jason Black, Ben Harrison on Tuesday night. Ben Harrison wins the nomination.
I don't care about my non-lawyer friend. You're wrong. You're just wrong. They certified
stop with the lawyer
election.
Stuff. Listen to me here.
They've stop with the lawyer stuff. I can't say there's the law doesn't matter today.
We know you're a lawyer. You have made that clear, abundantly clear. Okay, I get it. You're a lawyer. I know what a lawyer is. Listen to me though. The judge could do what he or she sees fit. Yes, you're talking about the protocol. What should happen? What is the right thing? Is it fair to make Ben Harrison have to go through another election because of the screw ups going on in Lauderdale County?
Did your mom and dad raise you to use the word fair?
Is it right? Whatever moniker you want to use.
Hang on, Mr. Contumacious. All right, the bottom line is this: under Title 17 of the Alabama Code, regardless of how you feel about it, there is a legal right to bring a challenge within a certain amount of time, also with, you know, signed affidavits and paying your fees and posting bond and doing all the hoops you have to jump through. There is a legal right under Title 17 to make a challenge. Your challenge can be dismissed. If the challenge is dismissed, then you have a right to appeal. And the reality is, whether Ben Harrison or anybody else likes it, if Kimberly Butler proves her case to the satisfaction of the judge will have no choice but to set a new election. That is the law. Like it or not.
No, well, it goes to the party. It goes to the party to the side. According to John Merrill,
it does go to the party first. It is a private. Administrative action required as the party hears it first in this particular case. But
the party. So the judge could say something went wrong.
I think in this one, though, I think she's actually having to file a legal claim. The certification of the race within 24 hours she had to file. Once the nominee was declared, she has 24 hours to file an actual legal claim. This one's not going to go to the party, I believe. I think this one might go straight to court. I have to look back at the law on that one, but I believe this one.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Nobody really knows.
Oh, everybody knows. If you just take a time to look at it.
Nobody knows what's going to happen here.
It's not rocket science.
What should happen? My question isn't about the judge and how it works. I'm asking you what is the proper outcome here? You seem to think it's a new election, but somebody's got to pay for that.
Well, yeah, somebody's got to pay for that. But here's the bottom line. If the registrars in Lauderdale County were so ate up like a soup sandwich that they couldn't get the right names in the right districts and that hosed the election, and it disenfranchised voters who should have had an opportunity to vote the way they wanted, and it caused a candidate who should have been on the ballot to not be on the ballot or vice versa, then they've got no choice but to take a look at that. And those, first of all, need to find a new job, those registrars. And then secondly, the judge has got to look at it and decide, does this rise to the level of taking the extraordinary steps, but yet within his discretion, to set aside the election, invalidate it, and set a new one? And they have to. And then by law, it has to get paid for. Sorry, but that's the way it works. Did we just dominate the rest of our entire time?
I laughed and went and got something to eat and came back. You guys are still going.
Oh, see? Here's the Jeff Poor. I love you in spite of yourself, just so you know that. All right. Folks, that was the Grand Council. That was lively. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. And, oh, by the way, Jeff Poor, just plain right. We'll be right back.